Here we are again on a Friday at the end of the month of June. When we next meet on Monday, it will be July 1st. And I'm going to say more later about what we will be discovering about God all next week here on God Is. But at the start today, let's get right into our text and pick up on what we were discussing last time. As we have moved into Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17, we have learned that in this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. And then as we proceeded through our conversation about these verses, I said that God, through Jesus, identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. Let me give that to you again. God, through Jesus, identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. And that is certainly what water baptism is about, as it is all of the Christian life. When you get to thinking about it, we have many marks of identification in our lives. Take, for example, our DNA. That identifies us. Your DNA is distinctive of you, as is mine of me. And it is amazing what can be said about a person from one's DNA. And think with me also about your fingerprints. Your fingerprints identify you, as mine do me. If you're not driving at present, take a moment and turn your hands over and look down at the inside of your fingers. Do you see all those lines and circles there? Nobody else in the whole wide world, presently living or who has ever lived, has the same exact and detailed fingerprints as you. This is why the FBI and the police department are very interested in having on file a criminal's prints. They are important to forensic science. One can alter all sorts of things at a crime scene, but one cannot alter one's own fingerprints. They leave an identifying mark. Science does talk about the difference between fingerprints and finger marks, yes. But again, whether we talk about fingerprints, nearly unique, or we talk about finger marks, unique, we are still talking about an exact way to identify someone. And then, of course, we can talk about our licenses or some other form of picture ID. Identification. You have your hands on the wheel there, out on the roads, stuck in traffic, all those folks pretending they can drive all around you. Isn't it amazing how poorly other people drive? And it is only legal to do this if you have a driver's license there in the car with you somewhere. I like to have mine right beside me in my wallet, just in case an officer decides that the speed limit really actually is the limit. Well, the driver's license identifies you. If you get pulled over and you ask your spouse to hand you his license, and you drop down your window and you hand his to the policeman, well, you're going to be in immediate trouble. And I can think of other forms of identification, but I want to come to this last one, gender. This is a hot topic in our society. People are asking, how do you identify? Gender identity is very popular to discuss and usually to debate. According to the Bible, and therefore God, there are only two genders. There is male and there is female. But according to the culture and the most dominant, popular, and influential shapers of the society, the global society, there are many different ways to identify one's gender. This is discussed in the broader context of sexual orientation, gender expression, transgender, gender transition, and gender dysphoria. You and I live in a time when many people are expressing a great deal of confusion about gender identity, and this is deeply disturbing. It is also heartbreaking if someone you love is wrestling with this. I know of Christian parents that are devastated over the ways in which their teenage and adult children are in the process of considering a change in their gender, including various kinds of surgeries to the physical body. How are these believers who take God at his word, there is male and there is female, supposed to react to the ones they love who are attempting to undo what God has done as he knit them together, carefully designed each and every one of these kids in their mom's wombs? What do these parents say? How do they react? This is an important matter to discuss, and I believe the Bible has a great deal to say about it, but this is not the focus of our remaining minutes with one another now. All that I will say at this point is that if you love someone who is now unsure of their gender identity, or you are listening to me now and you yourself are unsure, I'm willing to discuss this with you off the air and to pray for you. God is keenly interested in all aspects of our human sinful experiences. God knows everything about everyone, and in his great love, mercy, and compassion, he wants to hear from you about the heartache you're experiencing. You and those you love do not have to do what the culture demands of you. You can choose to obey God rather than to obey humans. But of course, yes, this requires that you do not go it alone, but reach out for help from others. I'm here if you need me. Information on how to get in touch with me is given at the end today. Write to me this weekend. My point is, when we talk about identification and identifying ourselves, there are several ways to do it. For example, another one is our national identity. Are you an American? Or are you Filipino, Japanese, Chinese, Thai, Cambodian, African, French, British or Jamaican, Australian, maybe Brazilian? Maybe you belong to some other nationality. You see my point. Add nationality to the many ways in which we can be identified. Next week is Independence Day here in the States, and for many of us, our national identity will come flowing out of us on Thursday. But what I want to submit to you with all my heart is this. Your most important identity is to be identified with Christ, which is to be a Christian. Remember, Jesus identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. The true record of all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that God sent his son Jesus into the world to be one of us, so that by faith in him, we can be his. We can be a person belonging to the God of the universe, and a close, intimate, and faithful Father will take good care of us. By believing in Jesus, God the Father adopts us into his family, where we find that we finally belong, and we identify with other believers who go through the same or similar struggles to the ones we face every day. Now, of course, yes, there is a price to be paid for this. Following Jesus in today's context is difficult. It is a long, tough road to walk with many different enemies popping out from behind the bushes and seeking to destroy us. This civilization despises the one true God. They have no use for him, and they turn that hate on those who love him and defend his name. If you live righteously by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be attacked by the unrighteous in one form or another. But Jesus never, ever, not once said that being identified with him would be easy. In fact, listen to me now if you would. He said the opposite. He was, as always, very clear with us about this. Listen to the words of our Lord in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verses 18 and 19. This is Jesus speaking, and you really need to hear this. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. I trust you heard it straight from Jesus. The world hates you. This is strong language. And this is one of the many reasons I love Christ. He gives it to us straight. There is no dancing around. Those of us who follow Christ, because he chose us to do so, are hated by the world. And you know this to be true. And the reason for this is what? Well, Jesus tells us what it is. Verse 18, they hated him before they hated us. I'm telling you, if you identify yourself with Christ, with the living God, you will be hated. So there is a definite sacrifice that we all make as Christ's people. Being Christian is not easy, but it is worth every single antagonism that we face, whether it come from strangers, or worse, those closest to us, even our very own family members, parents, brothers, sisters, children, and grandchildren. And there are so many other words of Jesus that I could give you today as he speaks within the Bible about the opposition to us. we will face in identifying ourselves with him. But his invitation to you stands. Will you repent of your sin and by faith trust in him? I urge you to do so and contact me today so I can share with you more about what being identified with God means in practice. As for us, we've now finished what I want to say about Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. I hope this true episode in the life of Christ, his baptism at the Jordan by John the Baptist, has taught you a lot about who God is. That is my prayer for you. That is what I have worked towards in preparing this for you. So, where do we go from here? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Our next stop in the Gospel according to Matthew in the life of Christ will be in Matthew chapter 4 and the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Again, we will ask, what does Jesus teach us about God? And oh, there will be so many valuable and applicable lessons for us all there. However, we will not go there on Monday, because next week is a major holiday week here in the United States. Thursday is July 4th, and that means a lot of you will be taking time off, traveling, and out of your usual routines and away from the radio. Now, don't worry, I will be here all next week, Monday through Friday. And I hope that you'll be here too. If you miss any days, just get the God Is podcast and you will be all caught up. As to what I will be speaking with you about next week, be here on Monday to find out. What I will now say is that the content will be focused on the nature and character of our great God. You can count on it. As this week ends, I've given you much of importance to think about. Please be attentive to what the Spirit of God is saying to you from the Word of God. Identify yourself with Jesus. I hope that you'll be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and Bible-living church this weekend if you're physically able to do so. And then I hope that if you're able, you'll join me right back here on Monday for God Is.